Today we're going to continue on a discussion that we touched on last week with Hawkins' level of consciousness. We're going to be speaking about four different levels that he talks about, and we're going to move that across to what the Word of God says and how we are to be moving in those different kinds of levels. So the first level is neutrality. Second level is willingness. The third level is acceptance. And the fourth level is reasoning. Welcome back, Alec. Good to have you in studio.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. I must say that it's been a real challenge to prepare for today. It's taken me way out of my comfort zone. I feel very unqualified to speak about this in the depth that we are and trying to unlock the spiritual truths. So as we were saying last week, I touched on the humanistic approach of Maslow and his hierarchy of needs, and then in particular the 17 steps of Hawken that takes you through all the way to enlightenment. So you're starting with on the bottom with shame and guilt and feeling grief and apathy and fear and all the destructive sides, and then eventually ending up with love, joy, peace, and enlightenment. But I mentioned that there's four in particular where there's significant differences between the humanistic approach of trying to work your way personally to salvation as opposed to the biblical approach. So if we look at neutrality, which is number 10 on his scale, we basically looking at a situation where from a humanistic approach, they are saying that you need to be completely non-judgmental. You need to accept yourself, warts and all. You need to accept others, warts and all. Their view of neutrality leads us to a place of destruction and despair, where it comes up very anti-religion, and it no longer is neutral. So if we go across to the biblical view, then we are warned against being neutral, and neutrality is irresponsible, and it plays directly into the hand of evil. So we really do need to make a choice to serve God. In Luke 16:13, it's clear that we can't serve two masters. And then it goes on to say we need to take a stand, we need to be consistent with our faith and our morals and our beliefs. So as Christians, you have to make up your mind whether you love the Lord or not. And if you do, then you also can't be silent when things go against your faith, your morals, your beliefs. So we still listen to both sides of the story. But being neutral when it comes to truth is viewed as sin. So, you know, from a Christian perspective, we can't be neutral.
Do you have an example, just a practical example of people being, or a situation being, not choosing a side? Is there an example you can give us?
Yeah, well, the one example would be typically if there's a townhouse complex and there's 10 homes and you've got 10 different opinions about how to plant the garden, the neutral approach would be to say, well, you know, let's make everybody happy and plant nothing, as opposed to looking at the diversity and saying, okay, great, we've got 10 people here, let's have 10 different shrubs, bushes, trees, and everybody's happy. So their stand against religion is very much based on it's very atheistic in its nature, and very based around self-works, if I can put it that way.
Also, in the scriptures, Jesus spoke about having two masters, and that being,
yeah,
you got to choose between either. You cannot serve two masters.
Yeah.
I don't know, you mentioned in Luke, in your notes, when we had a bit of a chat before today's discussion, that there is scripture that even talks about neutrality.
Absolutely. And then in Corinthians, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God with inequity and lawlessness? How can light have fellowship with darkness? So the Bible is very clear on that point.
Absolutely. Moving towards the point on willingness, let's touch on that this morning.
Again, the humanistic view of being willing is essentially getting to the point where you can will yourself, and that you are by being willing, we have acceptance, peace, freedom, to be the flow of life, and to will and the power to make choices. So the biblical view on willingness is that although we are willing, it's not through anything that we do. None of our works earn us right standing with God. So God's favor is a free gift to us through Jesus, and he wants to show us his favor from his side, and it's got nothing to do with effort and work on our side. So if I read Romans 9:16, it said, so then God's gift is not a question of human will and human effort, but God's mercy. It depends not on one's own willingness, nor on his strength, strenuous exertion as in running a race, but on God's having mercy on him.
Also, I think of the scripture in John 10:10, where Jesus came and he said that the enemy comes to steal, kill and destroy, but Jesus comes to bring life and life to abundance. Choose life.
Yes.
There also is a situation where you can choose what do you want? What is your will?
Yes.
You want to live according to the blessing that Jesus has come to give you. And by doing so, that is making a choice as well, a willingness choice.
Absolutely. And then I'll just read another one. In Matthew, it's all of you must keep awake and give strict attention and be cautious and active. Watch and pray that you may not come into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that sort of starts taking you down the teachings around self-mastery being able to use the Holy Spirit in control of your spirit to actually gain control of the flesh and the carnal nature, which pulls us in the wrong direction. And that is again where we've spoken before about how discipline around your nutrition and your exercise also plays in favorably to self-mastery and gaining control of the carnal nature.
That also brings in the whole fasting.
Yes.
So, because one tends to want that piece of chocolate or want that extra meal that they don't really need to be having if they are in a mode of fasting. Because sometimes your body goes through these times in the day where you are ravenous and then you willfully stay away from the food, stay away from the fridge.
Yeah.
And you make that breakthrough also through being willing in your fasting as well.
Yeah, interestingly enough, is if you can hold out just a little bit longer, craving goes away. So it ebbs and it just dissipates. So, you know, you You don't just get progressively hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. It sort of comes in waves. So if you can just hang out long enough. So one of the tips around fasting is when that happens is go and have a glass of water, go and have a cup of coffee. But that way around, you can push beyond it. I found it fascinating to get it to see how this is all leading us further down to where we get to love, joy, peace, and those emotions unlock all the happy
endorphins.
So we're talking there more specifically about oxytocin, dopamine, and serotonin, so when we are in love with the Lord and when He is the focus of our lives, then those are the naturally produced in the brain and they upregulate your emotions. And we've spoken before about your nutrition doing the same. So if you're eating a nutritious, healthy, balanced meal, it also upregulates your emotions. And the same goes for exercise. So the Lord has created us and put everything in place, in its right place, for us to be able to lead that victorious, overcoming life, that abundant life that He speaks of. But we tend to be our biggest stumbling blocks, and we don't do what we're supposed to according to the Bible, which then precludes us from having that. So, you know, if we're looking at the facts and we're saying 80% of the population or adult population are not in a healthy space with regards to their health and wellness, why not?
Exactly. Alec, let's move on. We've got about 5 more minutes to cover 2 big topics, and I don't want to take anything away from them. I mean, the first 2, neutrality and willingness, are heavy-weighted topics, as well as the acceptance level and the reasoning level. Let's go with acceptance.
Well, with the acceptance, the first thing that we need to realize is that accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior is key. And then once you've done that, then you've effectively unlocked the right to become a son of God or a daughter of God. And knowing who you are in Christ is vital. That knowing that you are accepted in His sight and that He died for us, puts you in that position where, unlike the humanistic approach, where you really are trying to come to grips with and come to terms with who you are, the way you are, and accept yourself, warts and all. Here we're saying Jesus came to died for us to change us for the better. And by accepting Him and the Holy Spirit in our lives, then the outflowing is a natural progression of that. So, we're not called to strive. So, you've got this sort of pulling in opposite directions. So you are called to rest in who you are in the Lord. But we are also told to look after and work on our health and wellness, our nutrition, exercise, etc. So we have to avoid gluttony and sloth, and we have to do something about that.
And reason, what can we chat about reason on? I know there's some scriptures there you mentioned in James 3 verse 17, and how we can work and know that we are in the biblical aspects of reason.
Yeah. A really good verse on reason is starting with Romans 6 verse 8, where it says, "Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason, without the Holy Spirit is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and in the hereafter. but the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul, peace, both now and forever. So there we can clearly see that where reason is can be subjective and it can be based on your personal opinion as opposed to logic, which is scientific, we are told that if we are left to reason out things for ourselves, it will lead to death and destruction in our lives. But if we allow the Holy Spirit in our lives to control our mind, our will, and our emotions, then we make serious progress on the journey and the growth journey forward.
Excellent, Alec. I think we've delved into these four different levels in the consciousness and moving it from a carnal way of thinking or a non-godly into the godly. I think we can talk more on this. Definitely, I don't think this has been covered enough today, but we need to get through to the news headlines also. So I think we can continue with this next week and look into more scriptures. You've got so many scriptures that pack this and unpack this and back what you're saying and how we, from a spiritual Christian followers of Christ, can use these in a biblical sense. I think it's so important because people are living in these different levels of consciousness as it is already.
Yeah, so, you know, to try and wrap it up is we need to accept that we are carnal beings and that there is this struggle that's going on a daily basis between our mind between the Holy Spirit led our mind under the control of the Holy Spirit and then the carnal nature, the flesh, which is pulling us in the opposite direction. And what we effectively are saying is that 80% of the population is not rising to the occasion, and they're not adequately taking the responsibility to actually look after their health and wellness, which is what we are tasked with to do. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So this was like a very, for me, a very deep and a difficult topics to cover. It's much easier to talk about lifting weights.
Absolutely, absolutely. Alec, you'll be in studio again next week from 10 past 8. We will be doing more discussions on how our wellness as the physical part of being fit fits in with our spiritual part of being fit as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.